Jesus is a stumbling block. How a man could be God is a stumbling block. But for others, it's the power of God unto salvation.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Job. Maybe you've listened to Straight Talk for some time now, and you've heard the teaching, and it's encouraged your heart, and it has spoken to your soul. But you have never made a clear, intentional decision to become a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between being a sympathizer and being someone that's a fully committed disciple. The difference is that a sympathizer likes the words, enjoys the teaching, sympathizes with Jesus, but hasn't crossed the line to say, I'm committed more than just a sympathizer. The Bible's really clear about it. It's an act of the will and an act of faith that releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus into our life. There's no magic prayer, although a prayer in faith can mark the beginning of our conversion. It's us being willing to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that we have sinned, that we have violated God's law, that we have made mistakes against God, and that we need those to be cleansed in our life. It's also a willingness to believe and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you sacrificed yourself for me, and I believe that you have the power to cleanse me. The Bible tells us that when in faith we repent, we acknowledge our sin, and we embrace that Jesus will be our Savior and Lord, bow our knee and yield our will, that at that moment in time, truth mixes with faith, releases the Holy Spirit into our life, and the Bible refers to it as being born again or being a new creation or a new creature. Once you've made that decision, then you need to make sure that you plug into a community of faith. You need to find a church and plug into that church. You need to get baptized as a sign of your following Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to grow in your walk with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. So if you've never made that decision, then I urge you, I encourage you, don't let this day go by without making sure that you make that decision before God. And if you do make that decision listening to this broadcast, why don't you email me and let me know, hey, Mark, I was listening to your broadcast. This is the decision that I've made. We'd love to encourage you and send you some material to get started in your walk in God.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Today, Pastor Mark is going to continue in his series called Like No Other. Our message is entitled At the Table with Jesus. Our text will continue to be from the book of Luke, chapter 7. Let's jump right in. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
Luke chapter 7. I'm having a lot of fun preaching through stories in the book of Luke. There's nothing that I would rather do when it comes to preaching. I've preached on a lot of topics throughout Scripture. I've been preaching for a long time, over 25 years. So there's practically, there's very few passages in Scripture that I have not taught on, preached about, referred to. I preached through most of the New Testament, a lot of the Old Testament, made reference to it. But I can't tell you the joy that I get when I'm able to really jump into the Gospels and preach about Jesus. Because as you read the Old Testament, you really can't fully comprehend the Old Testament without understanding the place that Jesus plays in it all. You see, Jesus is not just another part of the story. Jesus is the pinnacle of the story. It's the culmination of the story. You go to Genesis and Jesus is present there. The issue of sin is introduced, and the solution of sin has always been Jesus. Even before Jesus came, there's shadows pointing to the Jesus that's going to come. You can't read about the sacrifice in the Old Testament of the lambs, the liberation of the people of Israel, the blood spilled splattered on the doorpost of the houses of the people of Israel without understanding that it's all pointing to Jesus. Jesus only lived for about 33 years on earth. The Old Testament was written over thousands of years. But in those 33 years, the law was fulfilled. The manifestation of God came to earth. The Bible and so many of the promises referred to in prophecies referred to in the Old Testament are pointing to the coming of Jesus. Because Jesus, my friends, well, he's like no other. There's no one like Jesus. You cannot be a follower of God in Christianity without comprehending the significance of Jesus Christ. For some, Jesus is a stumbling block. How a man could be God is a stumbling block. But for others, it's the power of God unto salvation. And so I'm talking to you today about Jesus, and all the way up to Easter, my focus of my message is encounters with Jesus, Jesus like no other. And we're looking at the book of Luke, written by a doctor who actually accompanied Paul on his journeys and was not an eyewitness of most of this that happened, but he was a firsthand interviewer of eyewitnesses of the stories that Luke tells in both the book of Luke and then continues on to tell in the book of Acts. So we're in Luke chapter 7. And I want to talk to you about at the table with Jesus. Have you ever been snubbed before? I'm talking about like snubbed. You know what snubbed means? You know, when someone kind of, they're going to shake your hand and they just, you know, they don't really shake your hand. Or they see you coming and they just kind of walk over there. Have you ever been invited somewhere and then kind of felt like I'm not really wanted where I've been invited to come? Has that ever happened to you? You must be really popular because like, no, Pastor, not me. They always want me and like me wherever I go. Okay, for all those of us who aren't always liked all the time, I remember one time I was invited to a wedding by a couple that was getting married, and they really liked me. They wanted me to be there. In fact, they wanted me to perform their wedding, and so I did, and I was super excited about them. But the people that were planning the wedding did not like me. They just really weren't happy that I was there. The bride and the groom were really happy, but the people in charge of the catering and organization of the wedding and details of the wedding, they were definitely not happy. And I could feel it. They would walk on the other side when they saw me. They would whisper in corners and point at me. And I felt a little snubbed. I felt like I am not wanted in this place here. The bride and groom like me, but other people don't. And so finally I stopped one of the biggest snubbers. I caught him alone. And I just told him, hey, I know you don't like me. And I knew why he didn't like me, because I had to confront him, some people about some issues. You know, it's a long story. But I just caught him and I said, I know you don't like me. And I tell you, I have nothing against you. But I'm just going to tell you that when I confronted you about this, it's because I believe that, you know, what the Bible says. And so I confronted him there about the snubbery. But I felt that sort of that since you're invited to this place, but even though you're invited to this place, we don't really like you. Now, Jesus, in this story, happens to be invited to the house of a Pharisee. Now, I know you've read the Bible and heard the term Pharisee, but sometimes we don't really understand exactly what it means. We use it as a derogatory term today because it's synonymous with hypocrite, religious leader that has no compassion or heart. But here's the thing. There was about 6,000 Pharisees when Jesus lived, and the Pharisees were a very strict religious group of people that practiced the law meticulously, that were looked up to by most of society. They were like the priests and pastors of the day in a way, but they were even stricter than everybody else. And they wore robes so that you knew they were a Pharisee. They fasted three times They fasted three times a week. They were meticulous about learning the law. In fact, they were called lawyers of the law. They studied the Bible like a lawyer would study the Bible. And so people held them in high respect as high religious leaders, yet they were the most adamant opponents to Jesus. How many of you know that you can be very religious, but not necessarily embrace Jesus? Some of the most antagonistic people to the move of the Spirit of God and the authentic message of Jesus oftentimes are the religious. Because religion typically doesn't like Jesus that much. They like to maintain an institution and rules and regulations. But when it comes to authentic Christianity and following the ways of Jesus, oftentimes they're the greatest opponents. Did you ever think about this? It wasn't really the Romans that crucified Jesus. Did you realize this? That it was the Romans caving in to the religious leaders that crucified Jesus. Jesus was crucified by religious people. You ever think about that? It's almost like the church crucified Jesus. You know why? He made them feel uncomfortable. They wanted to be religious, but they didn't want to be like Jesus. Some of you are so religious, it's made you unspiritual. Some of you trust more in religion than you do in Jesus. And when you get around really the presence of Jesus, it's going to make you uncomfortable. Because you're going to cling to your religion, and Jesus will challenge religious people to embrace relationship over religion. Religion has never saved anybody. Religion will not save you. Religion cannot heal you. Religion cannot forgive your sins. Religion is not the answer. I hate it when people talk to me and they say, well, your religion, I don't even know what you're talking about. Are you talking about my relationship with God? Yeah, let's talk about that one. When you say, well, your religion. No, I'm not into religion. I'm into a relationship with God. I have a personal relationship with the God of the universe who indwells me. I have no affinity to some institutionalized religion.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled At the Table with Jesus, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Like No Other. After the broadcast tonight, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to the book of Luke chapter 7. Tonight's Straight Talk is called At the Table with Jesus.
Once in a while, I'll run into people that'll tell me, you know what? I'm into God, but I'm not into organized religion. I always want to say, join us. We're disorganized religion. You know, you'll feel right at comfortable with us. You're not into organized religion, man. We're sort of chaotic here, and you'll like us. But I'm not into organized religion either. I have no desire to be into organized religion, but I do have a desire to be an authentic relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and gather together with the people of God and the family of God that embrace the same God that I worship and follow as well. I have a great desire for that. So this story really is about a religious person that invites Jesus to his house. It's a story about a priest and a prostitute. Now, at first glance, you would say, well, the good guy in this story must be the priest. But if you get into the story, you're going to realize that really the hero in the story is not the priest, but it's the prostitute. Now, I know that's shocking you a little bit, some of you. But remember, this is not about religion. This is about relationship. And so let me just read this story to you. It's found in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. And it says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life, aka hooker prostitute, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, which some scholars say it was, you know, a tool of the trade. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owned money in a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them loved him more? Simon the Pharisee replied, I suppose the one who had the biggest debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, wiped me with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Word of the Lord. I'm going to talk to you really today about sitting at the table with Jesus and really what happens when we sit at that table with Jesus. When we sit at the table of Jesus, we're exposed to the presence of Jesus. We're exposed to the presence of Jesus. It brings out all kinds of things in us. And this really is a story about forgiveness. Maybe some of you are wrestling with the fact of whether you know if you're forgiven or not before the eyes of God. And I hope to answer some of that as you get close and intimate at the table with Jesus. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. A person's outward appearance does not immediately reveal the state of their heart. Notice in verse 36, it tells us that there was a Pharisee and a prostitute. The Pharisee was well-dressed. Everything in his house was in order. He was religious, meticulous about his religion. He had invited Jesus over to his house to have a proper dinner. And then a woman happened to come in as well, and she was the prostitute. She lived a sinful life in that town, and everybody knew it. And they were eating at the table, and she came in with an alabaster jar of perfume. Now I want to pause and make a note of something here. So there's a priest and a prostitute both at the table with Jesus. Now, our natural inclination would be to think that Jesus would be repelled by the prostitute and really scoot over and sit closer to the priest because he's more religious. But this story tells us something that, well, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God is not afraid of how you look. Because how you look on the outside doesn't always reveal what your heart is on the inside. How about it? In common vernacular, we say don't judge a book by its cover. Because sometimes people that look like they don't have it together have it more together than those people that look like they have it together. How many of you know that you can put the makeup on and dress up nice and be in the latest fashion and your heart is an absolute total disaster and mess? How many of you know that? You can't judge a book by its cover because the way someone looks on the outside doesn't always reveal how they truly are on the inside. The Pharisee, as I mentioned to you, is a well-respected clergy, strict in their religious. His name was Simon. He invited Jesus to his house. But obviously we start learning just because he invited Jesus to his house doesn't mean he was a follower of Jesus. Do you realize that a lot of people gather around Jesus not because they want to follow him, but because sometimes they're curious about him? They want to argue about him? Not everybody that gathers around the table of Jesus is a follower of Jesus. A lot of people are drawn to Jesus for different reasons. A lot of people admire Jesus for different reasons, but there's a difference between being an admirer, a sympathizer, and being a follower of Jesus. You cross a line when you just admire him, sympathize with his message, think it's good, revere his legacy, view him as an enlightened teacher. And there's a whole lot of people that view Jesus that way, but you cross a line, a definite line, when you cross the line of saying, no, I don't just revere him as a great leader like there are many other leaders, but I revere him as who he claimed to be, and Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and God himself. There's a line that you cross. This woman was an immoral person. In our society, she'd be wearing short skirt, high heels, fishnet hose, low-cut blouse. She was obviously a person that made her living off of having sex with other men, many of them married. That was her rent money, her food money. She would sell her body for profit. People knew it. They understood it. I've never met a woman that's fallen into prostitution that deep down inside didn't despise what she did. Many of us can have an idea of they're just evil women out there that just have no scruples and are just morally, blatantly depraved in all ways, and that leads to that kind of mentality or behavior. But no young girl grows up saying, one day I'm going to sell my body, be a prostitute, and sleep with any man that gives me $30. No young girl does that. It's this lifestyle that people are sucked into, oftentimes because of an abusive father or stepfather. Most young girls that get into prostitution had some sort of sexual encounter by the age of 12. Yeah. Most prostitutes in the city of Chicago, 25,000, by the way, in the city of Chicago that are involved in some sort of hire for sex. They get involved not because they're morally depraved, evil individuals. They get involved because they've been broken, abused, used, and misused. Oftentimes, pimped out by someone that's taking advantage of them, thrown into a lifestyle that they would never choose. Mentally abused and beat down so much, addicted to drugs, that's what they know and want. Their self-esteem is in the ground. Their sense of right and wrong is despised. They hate themselves for who they are. They're drug addicts oftentimes. Venereal diseases abound. Abuse is there. That's the world of the sex trafficking in Chicago. I had the opportunity a few months ago to speak at a banquet for one of the few ministries in Chicago that actually has a housing opportunity for ex-prostitutes to get out and actually have a place where they can go and get cleaned up. And as I spoke at this banquet, raising money for this house called the Dream Center on the north side, a couple of the ex-prostitutes were there. I'll never forget one of them that got up and she said, she told a little bit of her story and how many years she lived in it. And she said, you know, but this program has helped me understand that that's not who I am, that's who I was. But she said, now I'm a woman of God.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Like No Other. Tonight was the first half of his message. at the table with Jesus. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you'd prefer a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for $10 plus shipping. We invite you to visit one of our 25 New Life locations this Sunday. You can find out where they're at and the times they meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself tonight. Thanks again for listening. Join us again tomorrow as Pastor Mark continues on in his series, Like No Other. Have a great night, and God bless.